Hey, you're listening to the Casper Faith Podcast, where you can catch up on and re-listen to encouraging messages shared by the staff here at the church. Thank you so much for joining us. We hope these words inspire you, challenge you, and expose you to God's love in a meaningful way. Enjoy the message.
We are glad that you are here in the house of the Lord. It is always good to gather together. It says the Lord inhabits the praise of his people. And I could just sense his presence as we were praising him. His presence filled this place in a special way. He's always with us. He's everywhere at all times. But there's something special. A special dynamic takes place when we gather together and we lift up and praise and glorify our Savior Jesus Christ. Amen? Amen. Hey, I'm Craig. I'm the lead pastor here at Radius. And it is so good to have you with us this morning. We're glad you've joined us. Those of you watching online, thank you for being with us. We want to welcome, if you're brand new watching us online, also, we want to welcome all those who are new here in the house this morning. Can we give our guests a hand today? First-time guests, let's clap for them. You'll find in the seat in front of you, or if you've got a good reach right behind you, there is a welcome card. If you're first time here, if you could just take that, fill that out, and then put that in the drop box just to the right of the doors on your way out of the sanctuary this morning. We also invite you to stop by the orange pillar. There is a welcome packet, tells a little bit more about our church. You can get to know us. And then we have free coffee and cookies right at the information center. We invite you to pick it up, hang around a little bit, let us get to know you, and you can get to know us. Just a few announcements for you to be aware of. Right after service, we need to take down some chairs on this side of the room, and we have some equipment we need to get out because tomorrow is our mega sports camp, big outreach to the children here of Casper. So please keep that in your prayers. It's going to be awesome, but just hang around after service. We would appreciate your help in that so very much. Also, all campers, youth campers and kids campers and their parents, if you could go to the hospitality room right after service or so when Pastor Daniel's done, he is going to be having a meeting for all those going to camp, giving you a detail of what you need to bring, what not to bring, pickup times, all that great stuff. And Pastor Zach is not here. He actually is on a trip. He's just coming back with our college and young adults, and so they're on their way back. They went to the Black Hills. They're having a lot of fun this weekend. But so Pastor Daniel is going to lead that meeting for both youth and kids. So parents, make sure you go to that. Also, Destiny 3, that class is this Wednesday. 6 o'clock is dinner. Class is 6:45. Also, youth is at 6:45. And then last of all, next Sunday, we're going to be celebrating communion. And so if you're watching online and you would like to participate in communion with us, we're going to be doing that in the middle of worship. So we want to give you an opportunity this week to go ahead and get your supplies so that you can have them and you can experience that with us. That's all I've got. Why don't you go ahead and watch the screen for our announcements.
Yo, 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 Radius Church, what's going on today? I'm Pastor Zach, your student ministries and media pastor here at Radius Church. I'm so glad that you guys are here with us today. Here are your announcements just for you and your family. It is happening starting tomorrow. Hold on, wait. What you mean? No, I didn't forget anything. No, I know what I'm talking about. It's okay. I got this. It's all right. It's cool. That's right, Mega Sports Camp is here starting tomorrow, Monday. Volunteers, be here on time. Parents, get your kids here on time. It's going to be a great time. If you've got any questions, you can see Pastor Daniel after service. It's going to be awesome. Ladies, mothers, your picnic and walk is here this coming Tuesday. All right, over at Castle Park, over by the baseball fields at 10 o'clock. You don't want to miss it. It's going to be a great time. Bring your kids. Bring a great picnic so that way it can be a great time. Prime Timers, your monthly get-together is changing. That's right, it's changing. It's going to be awesome. Monday, next week, June 21st at 8:30 in the morning, you guys are getting breakfast together. If you really want to be a part of it, guess what? You got to sign up in the lobby right after service. That's all I have for you, Radius Church. Remember to have a wonderful and blessed day, and that there's treats and coffee right after service for you.
We are living in uncertain times. How many would agree with that? You know, it seems like everything's just kind of in upheaval. There's a lot of unrest all over the nation. Our society is becoming more and more fragmented. It feels like we live in the divided states of America instead of the United States of America. Morality seems to be heading south instead of pointing towards true north. And as Pastor Daniel shared a couple of weeks ago, only 6% of Americans hold to a biblical worldview. Only 6%. And so we're really living in a post-Christian society. Now, when you hear all of these facts, and I'm not trying to be a Denny Downer or an Eeyore with a, you know, that's always walking around with a rain cloud over my head. I'm not trying to be negative and make you depressed this morning, but I just want to be realistic and look at the facts. But this is something that I also know. The devil wants us to look at those facts and only those facts instead of looking at the facts that God says. And we sang about it today. He turns graves into gardens. He turns seas into highways. He turns dry bones into armies. Nothing is impossible with our God. I love this saying I heard someone say once time, God plus one is a majority. And you think about it. God plus one is a majority. All it takes is someone. It says, I looked for someone to stand in the gap, but I found none. What would happen if all of us stood in the gap? God can do all things. All things are possible. Nothing is impossible through God. And what we need to do as we see all of these negative facts in society is to look at the God facts and be people of faith as we approach these uncertain times. And it shouldn't surprise us because the Bible talks about in the last days and it lists all these things. And as you read about it, you see that there's uncertain times. There's all this division, dissension, a lot of negative things going on. But with God, we can be people of faith and have victory. Faith is the next piece of the armor that we're going to be talking about today. We're on a series where we're looking at Ephesians 16, and we're studying the armor of God. And just want to kind of give a review for maybe those who haven't been with us, or maybe if you're online and you're just joining us new today, thanks for being with us. But in week one, we learned that we have a spiritual enemy, the devil. Our enemy is not our spouse, it's not our boss, it's not the bully at school, it's not the jerk in the office. Our enemy is the devil. Our problem is not our sickness or that we've lost our job or our hours are cut back or there's some personal struggle going on. Our real problem is the enemy who likes to take these other problems and blow them up. And so the devil is our enemy, and so to fight our enemy, we need a spiritual solution because it's a spiritual problem. And so we talked about lethal prayer, how prayer is the first thing. We need to be people of prayer. And I'll just say this. I've realized we concluded school. We homeschool our kids, our final daughter. We got done a few weeks ago, and I've realized that since kind of that routine is done, I've just kind of slacked off and gotten a little bit lazy with summer, and that's what happens in summer. And it's like God saying, hey, Craig, you can't slack off in your spiritual disciplines. You need to keep at it. And so I just want to encourage you, as summer is starting, how many kids are glad school's out? Oh, wow. Okay, let's try. How many kids? Sound like you guys need to go back to school because you're not excited to be out. How many kids are glad to be out of school? That's a little better. They're all sleeping, or they're at the lake or something. Here we go. As we approach summer and the fun of summer, we need to be careful that we don't slack off our prayer life. We need to be people who are persistent in prayer. That's what we learned in week one. In week two, we talked about the belt of truth, and at our core, we need to be people of truth that we affirm God's standard as the standard and not adopt our preferences as the standard. Truth needs to be at our core. Week three, we talked about righteousness. Righteousness is applying truth to your life. It's a relational upright living. It's not just a religion that we do this and do that. We're in relationship with Christ and the Holy Spirit, but it's upright living where we're taking that truth and we're walking it out and fleshing it out. Righteousness is truth in action. And then last week we talked about the peace, shoes of peace. God wants us to have the peace of God, but also to be at peace with God. And if you have missed any of the messages and you'd like to know more about it, you can go to our website, radiuschurch.life, go to the watch tab, and then you can catch up on all of the messages in this series. Today, we're going to be talking about the shield of faith, or in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 16, and this is what the Apostle Paul wrote to the Ephesian church. He said, "Above all, taking the shield of faith with which you'll be able to quench 50% of the fiery darts of the wicked one." No, all. Aren't you glad that God can handle all problems in our lives? All the fiery darts of the wicked one. Let's pray. Father, I pray today you'd open our eyes to faith and you'd open our eyes to the bigness of our God and that you would be glorified and that we would walk by faith and not by sight. Amen. Amen. Paul likens faith to a shield, and as he's done with the whole armor, he takes different pieces of the Roman centurion's outfit, uniform, and he attaches a spiritual truth to it. And for faith, he says, faith is like a shield. Now, a lot of times when you think of a shield, especially now if you're into superhero movies and watch Marvel movies, how many like watching superhero movies? All right, some of you have different favorite ones. And if you're watching online, maybe just go ahead and put who your favorite superhero is. Batman. He's the best. I like Batman, but you know, Captain America has a shield, all right? That's not the kind of shield that Paul's talking about here. They had a couple of different shields that the Romans used, and one is the trash can size circle that could be used as a shield, and it's not really a weapon unless you're Captain America who can fling it and it bounces off trees, and CGI helps make that possible. You know, that doesn't really happen in real life, okay? That's not the shield Paul's talking about. He was talking about a shield that was almost like a door. It was about 4 foot tall and about 2.5 feet wide. And the Roman soldier, if he would crouch behind it, it could totally cover his body. And so when Paul says, take up the shield of faith, that is the picture, that's the word that he uses to the Ephesian Christians. And what I want us to realize this morning is that Satan, in your notes this morning, and on the back of your worship program, we have a hard copy. If you've downloaded the YouVersion Bible app, you can just go to events, click in events near me, Radius Church will pop up, and we have all the notes and scriptures listed there for you. It says, Satan wants to steal our victory, and the kingdom purposes God has assigned for us. How many realize the devil wants Christians to walk around being defeated, discouraged, and beaten down? He does. He wants us to feel that way because if we do that, we're going to live without joy. We're going to be miserable. We'll probably be miserable and nasty to others, but also we won't advance the purposes of God because God has kingdom purposes for you and I to accomplish. Look at your neighbor this morning and say, God has a purpose for you. Now say, you need to accomplish it. And really it's not, the overall purpose is to build the kingdom, but there's many little things that are part of that as you go to work, as you used to go to school, as you hang out with friends this summer, everywhere you go, as you are involved with people in engaged situations, God has purposes and plans that he wants you and I to accomplish. And Satan, he wants to steal our victory in the kingdom purposes God has assigned for us. What does the shield of faith do? Faith protects from attacks, and it advances our tracks. Faith protects us from those attacks where Satan's trying to beat us down, and it helps us to advance our tracks, those shoes of peace, as we're taking the gospel of peace everywhere we go throughout our lives. Faith helps us to advance the kingdom of God and take ground. Ancient historians tell us that these shields that the soldiers used had many functions and many purposes. They were commonly used in the front line of the army. So when Paul is saying, take up the shield of faith, do you realize he's telling each and every one of us, you're on the front lines of battle? Everyone is on the front lines. It doesn't matter if you're retired, you spend most of your days at home. It doesn't matter if you're a housewife taking care of the little kids. It doesn't matter if you're working 40, 50, 60 hours a week. Doesn't matter if you're a student. Every single one of us is on the front lines, and we need to be aware and prepared for the enemy's attacks. These door-like shields, a lot of times, they were united. The soldiers would get together and they would form a wall, and they would walk together as a wall. Sometimes they would also, when they were being assaulted from atop, the soldiers in the second row would hoist their shields up in the air. The frontline soldiers would have theirs in front, and it would form a formation called the turtle shell. We have a video clip from the movie called Eagle that we're going to show you. And it shows how the soldiers work together in unison with these type of shields, and they form the turtle shell. Go ahead and watch the screens. Did you notice how the commander said, hold the circle, tighten the circle, hold the circle? The Ephesian Christians, they understood that the shield wasn't just something one soldier held and was in place, but that there was a brotherhood that was there. And so when Paul says, take up the shield of faith, they realize that he is talking about, as a body, you need to endeavor to keep the unity of peace, as we talked about last week, because your faith is stronger together than you are apart. Your faith is stronger together. The soldiers, by being united together, they were protected. And if you didn't realize, there were people being held captive, and they pushed together. Not only did the shield protect them from the enemy's attacks, but it helped them to advance their tracks, and they kept moving forward, inching forward, getting closer till they kind of encompassed the prisoners who they set them free. Friends, that's what God wants us to do as a church, that as a shield of faith, we're in our community and we're setting the captives free. See, church just isn't about a time of coming to church saying, man, nothing is impossible, oh, from gardens to graves and all this stuff and all. I feel so good. God ministered to me. Yes, we want to meet your needs. We want to make you feel good. We want to help you with your problems. We want to support and encourage you. But it's not just about us. It's about influencing our radius. It's about helping all people accomplish our mission. What's our mission? To find and follow Jesus. Help all people find and follow Jesus. And the shield of faith helps us do this. And so we need to be connected together in relationships. This fall, we're going to be relaunching our small groups in COVID. We took a hiatus from that. I'm excited to announce that Sunny Bray is going to be our new small groups director. We're in the process of praying and recruiting small group shepherds, assistants, and hosts. I want you to be praying about that. But friends, we need to form tight, close bonds with one another, because that's how we overcome the enemy, how we're protected from attacks, and we advance our tracks. And so Paul is showing you need unity, but you also need to have this shield of faith. This shield was constructed of two layers of wood, and in between they would put canvas and leather, they would put different animal hides in there. And then from the middle, there was a hub of iron, and then spokes would radiate out, and that was the whole shield was encapsulated with iron bands to hold it together. What's interesting is that the shield was a defense against the darts of the enemy. Paul writes about that. Now, when you think of a dart, what do you think of? You think of a little tiny thing that you throw at a board and you take points for it. That's not what darts is. That word darts in the original language, it means missiles. It was like projectiles. There was javelins, spears, and arrows that they would shoot. Sometimes they would even put these javelins in catapults and they would launch them for greater distance and accuracy. And many times they would dip the tips of these missiles in pitch, they would light them on fire, and then they would send them to their targets. So these fiery missiles, what they would do is, if you got hit with one, I mean, you just think about it, you're on fire or your shield's on fire, what's going to happen? I want to put the fire out, right? But as you're so concerned about putting out the fire, you're not aware that the enemy's coming up beside you and he gets you. And so the fiery darts were distractions, detours. They were things to cause disturbance and chaos so that the people would not be aware of how Satan's trying to attack them. But Paul says faith protects you from that. The shields were actually fire extinguishers because they would soak them in water. And then those animal hides, the leather, they would soak up the water, and as that fiery missile would hit the shield, the water would put it out. There was one soldier, his name was Sceva, and after the Battle of Dyrrhachium, he counted 220 missiles in his shield. Friends, when Paul says, take up the shield of faith, because it can extinguish the fiery darts of the enemy, it is effective against every single dart. No matter how many the enemy whips at you, faith can defeat the enemy. It protects you from attacks, and it helps you advance your tracks. That is the importance of the shield of faith this morning. I want to talk about what is faith, because a lot of times faith kind of gets misportrayed what it is. And so we need to know what faith is if we're going to use it, because it is going to help us defeat our enemy. In your notes this morning, faith defined, number one, faith is belief in action. Faith is belief in action. Faith isn't just thinking something. Faith is doing something with your belief, all right? Faith is doing what God has asked you to do, no matter how difficult or how impossible it seems to be. It's obedience, no matter how risky or intimidating it may be. How many of you have ever felt God ask you to do something and your first reaction was, are you kidding me? Or like, no way, God. You want me to do what? How many of you ever felt that way before when God has impressed something upon you? Yeah, many of us have. Faith is moving beyond your comfort zone. It is belief in action. Yes, I sang about it. Nothing is impossible. Yes, I believe he turns graves to gardens. He raises the dead. He turns dry bones to armies. But don't ask me to talk to my neighbor. Don't ask me to witness to my coworker or invite them to church. I can't do that. I don't have the faith for that. Faith is belief in action. Number two, faith is acting like God is telling the truth. I love that definition. Faith is acting like God is telling the truth. And that's why we need to know the truth that is in God's Word. We need to know the truth as the prophecy we heard about. And by the way, if some of you are new with us and you've never experienced a message of prophecy in a service, it's talked about in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and 14, where God shares something to edify, strengthen, and comfort the people who are present. And like in the message we heard about how God is good and loving and kind, He's always there, we need to know the truth that is in God's Word so that we can pick up that truth when we're attacked. We hold on to that truth and we defeat the attacks of the enemy. Romans 10:17 says, "Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God." The more of the truth you gain from the Word of God in your life, the more it allows your faith to flourish. And so that's why it's important for us to be in God's Word regularly. Daily, if possible, we need a steady diet of feeding ourselves God's Word because it increases our faith, it strengthens it. Many times, when Satan discourages us, I know when he's discouraged me, I may be listening to something on the radio, a message, or I hear a podcast, or maybe I'm just reading something in my devotions, and all of a sudden, when I've been down, I've been discouraged, it picks me up. How many of you have experienced that before? God's Word built your faith when you were struggling. Many of us have. Be in the Word. Have a steady, voracious diet of God's Word. It will make your faith stronger. Tony Evans defined faith this way. He says, "Faith is acting like it is so, even when it is not so, so that it might be so, simply because God said so." That's a lot of so's. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Yes. Number three this morning, the third and final definition of faith: faith is putting or resting your full weight on God. Faith is putting or resting your full weight on God. In Matthew chapter 14, Jesus walks on water. Jesus is actually walking across the lake. There's a storm. The disciples are scared. Peter sees him. At first, they think it's a ghost. Jesus says, "Don't be afraid, it's I." And Peter says, "Lord, if it's really you, invite me to come out there." You know, that took a lot of faith, because if you think Jesus is a ghost, an evil spirit, and he really is. I mean, if that really is an evil spirit, the evil spirit says, "Step out of the boat and walk on the water." I mean, how many evil spirits are lying? They want to hurt you, and that's not a wise thing to do. So realize that took a lot of faith right there. But when Peter got out of the boat, he didn't kind of step halfway. It was kind of halfway between the water and halfway the boat. For Peter to walk on the water, he had to put his full weight on what Jesus said, "Come to me." He couldn't be halfway. He needed to put his full weight in what Christ said. I have a couple of chairs up here, and this chair here is a chair that my wife purchased. She likes to decorate. She actually got this at an auction, and she uses it for decorating. How many of you would like to sit in this chair? Any takers? This chair, you can see how thick the seat is. You can see that this chair is kind of flimsy. I am using one finger, and I'm holding this chair. Now, the question is, am I going to put my full weight on this chair? If I want to sleep in the bed with my wife tonight, I better not, okay? No, I don't want to get hurt. I'm not going to do that, because I know, just by looking at it, by examining it, this chair probably will not hold me up. Now, this chair... I'm looking around the room, and I'm seeing all of you sitting in this kind of chair. So one, that kind of gives me faith a little bit, okay? Also, as I look at it, this seat is a lot thicker than that. This is made out of metal. So as I look at this, I'm going to put my full weight on this chair. And that's what faith is. Faith says, I'm going to put my full weight on Jesus. I'm going to trust Him in every circumstance. No matter how risky, how intimidating, if God has told me to do something, either through His Word or through an impression, a directive of the Holy Spirit, I am going to obey him and put my full weight on Jesus. That is what faith is. The devil, he doesn't want you to put your full weight on Jesus. He wants you to put just partial weight, a little bit, but I still got a lot of weight over here. I'm back and forth. That's called doubt. Doubt is when you're wavering, you're hesitating, you're going back and forth. I know what God has said, but I don't know. I mean, God said to step out, but I'm not sure. That's doubt, partial weight. He also uses fear, and fear is really no weight, because not only does, whereas doubt says, yeah, maybe he does, maybe he doesn't, fear just expects something bad to happen. I once heard someone say, faith and fear are a lot alike. Faith is believing something unseen will happen, and fear is believing something unseen will happen. Both of them believe something unseen will happen. It's just, what is your belief? What is your system? Is it that God is going to be there and follow through, or is it something bad is going to happen? God will let me down. People of faith put their full weight on Jesus, saying, he is a good God. He loves me. He works all things together for good. I can trust him. In your notes this morning, when times are trying, keep relying. When times are trying, when times are difficult, no matter how bad it looks, keep relying on Jesus. Keep relying on him. What happens so many times is we start out obeying Jesus, following Jesus, doing what he's told us to do, but then when we hit hardship, when we hit stress, when we hit some conflict, and it's like, you know what? I'm done. And when times become trying, we quit relying. But faith keeps walking with God. We see Peter. That was kind of what happened to him. Peter, he started walking, but he took his eyes off Jesus. In your notes, we have three unhealthy responses, all right? Write these down. Number one is anxiety. Peter, as he stepped out of the boat, he's walking on water. Oh, this is awesome. But it says he saw the waves. He felt the spray on his face. The wind is buffeting against him. And what he did is he took his eyes off Jesus and he began to look at his circumstances. And when he was looking at his circumstances, that's when he became anxious, that's when he became fearful, and that's when he sank. And so we need to realize that we cannot let anxiety, the remedy for anxiety in your notes there is faith, not fear. Have that faith. Put your full weight on Jesus. Don't start and then stop. When times are trying, keep relying. Another unhealthy response to trials is anger. When something bad goes happen, well, thanks a lot, God. Why'd you let that happen? Lord, I'm serving you. I'm doing everything right. And you let this bad thing happen to me? Or maybe it's like you've been praying for something and it doesn't come through. In fact, the opposite of what you've been praying for happens. And you say, well, faith doesn't work. And you're just kind of ticked off. You're disgusted and angry at God. How many have ever been there or done that? I find I do that. Something bad goes happen. You know, you get a flat tire. The water heater goes out. I was in here last night and I just went into a back room. There was water all over the floor in the mechanical room. And I'm getting ready to preach tomorrow, and I'm going like, okay, am I going to be disgusted? Or am I going to trust God and be a person of joy and peace and that kind of thing? Okay, I'm going to trust God. I'm going to clean up the mess, put a bucket under it, and I'll deal with it on Monday, okay? Yeah. So, you know, it happens to all of us. Something bad happens when times are trying. Do we rely or do we get angry? The remedy for anger is trust, not disgust. The third unhealthy response in trials is apathy. Just giving up and quitting. It's not going to work out. I knew it wouldn't happen. I can't do that. Jesus, you want me to do what? I'm not talented enough. God, I don't have the connections to do what you're asking me to do. God, I don't have the boldness enough. I don't have the right words to say, so I'm just going to do nothing. And that's what the devil wants us to do. When God wants us to advance our tracks, to build the kingdom, to influence our radius, to help all people find and follow Jesus, the devil wants us to feel that we can't do it, so just give up and do nothing. The remedy is to live up, not give up. We need to live up to the truth that says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. We were saying about it this morning. I can do anything. Christ in you can do it. Jesus plus one is a majority. I can do all things. God can strengthen us and enable us to do the things that he's called us to do. So those are three unhealthy responses. And I just throw out this morning, do you see yourself responding in any one of those three? Right now, are you living with anxiety and fear? Are you living with anger and frustration and agitation? Are you living with apathy? You've just given up. You're not even trying to do the things that you know God has directed you to do. If so, become a person of faith. When times are trying, keep relying, because faith protects you from attacks and it advances your tracks. The devil wants to slow you down, to put obstacles in your life. God wants to move you ahead. You can't move ahead without faith in him. It says in Galatians 6:9, let us not grow weary while doing good, for in due season we shall reap if we don't lose heart. Losing heart is like losing faith. You stop believing. We will reap a harvest if we don't lose faith and we keep on trying. Now, as we move to a close, I want to look at some fallacies of faith. There's three fallacies in your notes, and we need to address these untruths, because these three things have shipwrecked the faith of many people. I've seen it in my own life. Fallacy number one, faith controls God. Faith controls God. The truth is, your faith does not control God. Your faith does not make God do something. Some people treat faith like Aladdin's lamp. If I pray and have faith, it's just I just rub the lamp and out comes God the genie. I tell him what I want him to do and boom, it happens. Friends, faith does not make God a genie, all right? God is sovereign. He's in control. He works all things together. Just because I have faith doesn't mean I can write my own ticket with God and I can tell God what to do. Because faith is about a loving relationship. That's what faith is. It's a loving relationship. If God is forced to do whatever I tell him to do because of my faith, that's an obligation and servitude. That's not love. God wants us to have a loving relationship that even if things are not working out the way we think they should, even though we can't see the desired outcome, we are still trusting him. I remember when our son, he was 2 years old at the time, he shoved Nerf ball up his nose, okay, a piece of Nerf ball. And we went to the doctor, and they tried to take it out, and they couldn't hold him down. They said, Dad, I need you to lay across his body. So I'm pinning his little arms. I had to lay across his body as the nurse held his feet, and someone held his head, and then the doctor removed it. And I'm sitting there, and I'm looking at my son, and my little boy is angry. He's fearful, and it's like, I can see it in his eyes. Daddy, why are you letting them do this to me? It just breaks my heart. But you see, as a dad, I knew that needed to come out, because if it stayed there, it would be worse. And there's times when we feel like God is pinning us down, and we're paralyzed, and we're being hurt, and we're saying, Daddy, why are you letting this happen to me? And he's just saying, you've got to trust me. It's for your good. Faith protects us from attacks, and it advances our tracks. When times are trying, keep relying. Paul makes this clear that our faith is not manufacture the results we want. We talked about how with each piece of the armor in chapter 6, he alluded to it earlier in the chapter. He does this in Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9. It's a portion of verses many of you may know. For by grace you've been saved through faith, that not of yourselves, is a gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. Realize that salvation is not manufactured by faith. Salvation was manufactured by Jesus Christ dying on the cross for our sins, and then he offers us his grace as a gift. And faith gives us access to what God has intended us to have. And so our faith didn't manufacture the salvation. It just gave us access. And what we need to realize is there are things that God has intended for us to experience. And sometimes we think that what we want to experience is what God wants us to experience. And if I have faith in what I want, then God's going to give it to me. No, God knows best. He works all things together for good. And so I need to put my faith in God that if things don't work out the way I want them to, that he's still in charge. He's working everything together for good. My faith doesn't control God. It's not a guarantee. It's not like I put in the quarter and I hit E4 and out comes my Kit Kat bar from the cosmic vending machine. God is not a cosmic vending machine. Faith does not control God. Fallacy number two is that faith focuses on the quantity or quality of human belief. I've heard people say before, well, you just need enough faith. You need stronger faith. If you just had the right faith, you would get what you've been praying for. That's not true. The truth is, faith focuses on how trustworthy, true, and loyal the object of belief has proven to be. Remember the illustration of the chairs? I put my faith in a chair or not in a chair because I have examined the object. As I examine this object, I am not convinced it will hold me up. But as I examine this one, and I look underneath and I see how there's metal support, the seat's thick, there's hardwood there, you're all sitting in it this morning. As I look at the object of my faith, I am convinced that it's true, it's trustworthy, and loyal, so I'm putting my faith in the object, not in my faith. My faith, if I put my faith in this chair, that doesn't make the chair any stronger. All right? Putting my faith in this chair doesn't make it any stronger. Putting my faith in this chair doesn't make it any stronger. It's just I've examined the object of what I'm believing in, and I realize this can support me. And as we look at our God is a big God. Jesus was talking to the disciples, and he was talking about forgiveness. He was saying, you need to forgive everyone in Luke chapter 17. And the disciples said, Jesus, I don't think we can do that. Increase our faith so that we can forgive people. And this is what Jesus says in verse 6, Luke 17. If you have faith as a mustard seed is one of the smallest seeds that exists. He says, if you have faith as a mustard seed, you can say to this mulberry tree, be pulled up by the roots and be planted in the seed, and it would obey you. Jesus is saying, you don't need more faith. He says, a little faith is all you need. You just need your faith in the right person. You need to trust me that I will give you the power to forgive others. You need to, sometimes when your faith feels small, you don't need a bigger faith. You just need a bigger God. You need to realize how big your God is. You need to look at the truth of who God is and put your faith in God, that God is going to work all things together for good. You look at Hebrews chapter 11. They call it the Hall of Faith. And it talks about how some people, they were raised from the dead and they experienced all these miracles. But there are other people, they were sawn in two. They died a martyr's death. They were killed. Does that mean those who were killed and martyred didn't have faith? No, because they're all included in the hall of faith. Faith keeps relying when times are trying. So your faith, if it's in Jesus, you don't need a bigger faith or a better quality of faith. If you're struggling this morning, you just need to realize how big your God is. How big your God is. Look at number three. The last fallacy of faith is that faith is blind. The truth is that while faith requires risk, it also incorporates wisdom. While faith requires risk, it also incorporates wisdom. If we're not careful, faith can turn into foolishness, imprudent, impulsive, even dangerous and reckless behavior done in the name of faith. Many times people have said, God told me to do this, and they step out in faith only to have walked in an unwise or an ungodly path. Here's how you walk in faith and wisdom. I'm going to give you three quick things. They're written down in there so you don't have to write them out. But number one is truth faith must be squarely built on the foundation of God's word. True faith will not contradict God's word, all right? Some people say, well, I prayed about it, and we love each other, so it's okay for us to move in together and live together before we're married. I know a gentleman who said, God is a good parent. A good parent makes their child happy. This affair makes me happy, so I can divorce my wife and have this affair because it makes me happy. I've known some people to say, well, I can date a non-Christian. It doesn't matter. I'm trying to win him to Jesus. Friends, all of these things are talked about in the Bible. If something goes against the Word of God and you embrace it, that's not faith. That's foolishness. Real faith must be built squarely on the foundation of God's written Word. Because you see, the shield of faith needs to coordinate with the belt of truth and the breastplate of righteousness. What Paul says in there, above all, taking the shield of faith. You see, you need all the protection in the armor. If you don't have the truth and the righteousness, faith isn't going to help you. And so it needs to be coordinated with that. All of faith needs to be squarely built upon the foundation of God's word. Letter B in your notes, faith gains wisdom from godly counsel. Faith gains wisdom from godly counsel. Proverbs 11:14, where there is no counsel, the people fall. But in the multitude of counselors, there is safety. So go to pastors, go to mentors, go to people that you know have handled the promptings of God properly and correctly. If you're married, you need to be one flesh about doing what you're doing. It's important to be one. And you need to, if you're not one, you need to talk about it. You need to pray about it. You need to see why one of you does not feel the way you do. You need to be one. There is wisdom in a multitude of counselors. And then letter C, the third thing of how we gain wisdom is that faith is directed by the peace or the check of the Holy Spirit. It's guided by the peace or the check of the Holy Spirit. Last week we talked about the shoes of peace, the peace of God. And in Philippians 4:7 it says, the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, all of your comprehension and logic, it'll guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. There are times something's not forbidden in Scripture, and it seems like God's opening all the doors and the circumstances work out. And as you've talked to your godly counselors, they're giving you the thumbs up. They don't have any flags in their spirit. They don't give you any red lights. But as you pray about it, you just don't have peace. Rebecca and I, we've experienced this several times in ministry. I remember when we were leaving our pastor as a youth pastor in Salt Lake City, Utah. We felt that we were done at the end of summer, and I really thought God was going to give us a position. Now, we had something lined up, and it looked really good. We thought we were going to go there. But when we went there, when we left our position, when we went and we candidated, we met the board and stuff, while it seemed perfect on the outside, man, I was just all riled up in the inside. It just wasn't right, and I wanted this bad. And yet it didn't seem right. It didn't work out. There was another place that came up. Again, that seemed perfect. And everyone was saying, man, it's a good opportunity, you should take it. But it didn't feel right. And it is important to not ignore the peace of the Holy Spirit. If your decision does not go against the Word of God, then utilize the peace of God as you're trying to make decisions and be guided by the Spirit. What is God prompting me to do and not to do? Faith protects us from attacks and advances our tracks. This morning as we close, I want to just throw out a few questions. If you want to just kind of bow your heads, close your eyes, I want you to evaluate these things this morning. Are there any areas of your life that you're sensing God prompting you to take a step? Anything in your life right now, maybe it's a clear directive from the Word. Maybe it's He said, you need to forgive so-and-so, and you've been struggling with that, saying, God, I don't have the power and the ability to forgive someone. Maybe it's you are involved in an ungodly relationship. You know it doesn't line up with Scripture, and God's saying, you need to get out of it, and you're afraid. You've gotten in so deep, you don't know how to do that, what that looks like. Maybe it's a prompting like God saying, I want you to quit your job and go into ministry or be a missionary. Maybe I want you to move, or I want you to talk to someone. I want you to witness to someone. Is there anything God has been prompting you, speaking to you about, that you realize you need to say, God, I'm going to put my full weight on you. I'm going to obey you. I'm going to put my belief into action. Next, is there anything that's causing you to hesitate or move forward in obedience? Is there anything causing you to hesitate? And then last of all, is there any problem that has you anxious, angry, or feeling like giving up? Friends, don't lose heart. Trust God. He'll take care of you. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, you are the author and the finisher of our faith. Your word says that He who began a good work in us will see it through to the end. And I pray this morning you would help us to take up the shield of faith and obey you. How many this morning you'd say, Craig, I feel like I'm in a storm. I feel like Peter, that I'm sinking in the waves, that my faith is under attack. It's been shaken. You're going through a difficult time, and you'd just say, I need God's security. I need peace. I need stability. I need Him to strengthen my faith. I need to focus my faith on the bigness of my God, not on the bigness of my problem. If that's you this morning and you just need encouragement, I'd like you to raise your hand. How many would say that's me? I need you to pray for me. I'm going through a difficult time. I need God to strengthen my faith. Thank you. I see that hand. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Anyone else today? You'd say, it's tough for me. Maybe you're watching us online today and you're just feeling that way. You feel like your life is out of control. I just want you to put your faith in God and lift it up and say, God, here I am. I'm trusting you. Some of you this morning, maybe you need to advance your tracks. God's been telling you to do something and you've been hesitating. How many would say, I know there's something that I need to obey God on? Just put your hand up right now. Thank you. I see that hand. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. I want to encourage you, if that's you, do it as soon as possible. Take that step of faith. Take that step of faith and obey God. Last of all, there may be some of you here or watching online and you're not a follower of Jesus. You've never taken up that salvation by faith where you've asked Jesus to forgive you. God loves you and He died for you to give you a relationship with Him. And sometimes when I grew up, I was trusting in my good works, the things my church told me to do. And maybe that's kind of like you were a religious person, but you realize today you just sense you're not right with God and you need God's gift of salvation and you need to put your trust in Jesus for your life here on earth where He's your Lord. You're saying, God, I'm going to obey you and follow you and do what you tell me to on earth, and then I'm also going to trust you with my life and eternity. I need you, Jesus, to forgive my sin. I need you to cleanse me of all I've done wrong and give me your righteousness. If you need God's leadership and forgiveness in your life, you need to become a follower of Christ, a Christian. I'd like you to raise your hand this morning. Thank you. I see the hand in the back. Anyone else? Anyone else this morning? Those of you watching online, if that's you, just go ahead and respond. I'm going to say this prayer, and I want you to take the parts of the prayer that apply to your life and realize this prayer is not magic. And for the part that is where you're receiving Christ, It's not the prayer that saves you. It's the commitment of your heart that continues on that gives you a relationship with God. Let's pray together this morning. Father God, I am a sinner. Forgive me for all I've done wrong. I trust you to cleanse me and to lead me. Take charge of my life. Take every problem and every situation. I give it to you. I rest my full weight upon you, Jesus. You love me. You've never left me. You've always been with me. You died for my sin, and I thank you for eternal life. I trust you now with my everything. Amen.
We hope that you've enjoyed today's message, and thanks again for joining us on the Casper Faith Podcast.